This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So yesterday we were talking about where we got into the whole subject of love,
mm-hmm.
and prison, and we were talking about the lady who just got in trouble internationally. She was on OnlyFans and she was a guard at a prison and ended up banging a guy doing life, yep. Putting it, had another cellmate videotape it or cell phone tape it, and then threw it on OnlyFans, got caught and got arrested, and she faces an incredible fine for it.
Right, like the maximum is life in prison.
Because you're Britain. A prison guard. Even though she didn't try to get him out.
Right.
But we're just talking about, hey, there's a lot of money to be made. I get it. But damn, what you will do. And she wasn't even in love with this guy. This is just purely for money.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a story that came out of Lansing, Leavenworth. And I'm sure it wasn't Leavenworth prison, because that's a different one. It was Lansing prison and up there. And it was the Safe Harbor
program. Lansing Correctional Facility.
And what happened was she was part of this really cool program. And, you know, Belch had a dog. He and Christina had a really good dog, Hudson, that came from that program.
Yeah.
A trainer would come up with a volunteer, and then there would be an inmate and a dog that needed to be worked with, learn its behaviors, work its way through whatever. But it was really beneficial to everybody involved. The dog got training, love, mm-hmm. and understanding. The inmate got somebody, something to love.
The companionship.
And to understand, you know, it's we all know. If you have an animal, yeah. and you have a dog, a cat, whatever you have, it's really good for you. Mm-hmm. It's good for your heart. I don't care how corny it sounds. It's good for your soul.
Yeah.
It's good for your well-being. It's good for your understanding, for your compassion to others, everything. And so the story starts to unfold. And we were, you know, we were on the air. You know, the show was on the air when this was happening. I remember it was 18 years ago.
Going,
holy cow. One of the volunteers fell in love with an inmate who was doing life in Lansing, smuggled him out. And it caught national attention. You know, think about it. Dog volunteer smuggles hardened 27-year-old inmate out. And then they get found down south somewhere. They'd gone through Arkansas and Tennessee. And, you know, they had a whole love thing going on. And it was a crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, yes, it's super sensational, right? But you understand what happened. I mean, it's pretty instantly understandable. People fall in love and they go crazy.
Yeah, like, you have blind focus on what you want.
And hold on, Jake. And then so Jake, and by the way, how did you find, come in here, Jake, if you would. Her name is Toby. It wasn't Toby at the time. It was Toby Young.
It was Toby Young at the time. It's Toby Dore now. Yeah. And I found her through, one of the publishers, she had written a book, and it's somebody I deal with sometimes. And I was looking through their list of clients and I saw her name. Because at the time, back in the day, of course, I tried to get a hold of her.
Of course.
And she had court case going and everything and couldn't talk. But I went through that, and the lady was fantastic. She's like, oh, yeah, here, Toby would love to talk to you. Here, call her.
No.
And so I called her yesterday, and we talked for probably 30, 40 minutes on the phone. She's like, yeah, I'll come on. She's like, it's a crazy story.
Lifetime movie, Jailbreak Lovers.
Jailbreak Lovers. They did a Lifetime movie, yeah.
The guy, John, was it Menard?
John Menard, yeah.
And 27 at the time,
He was in for murder. He already had a life sentence, and then when this was all done, he got life plus 10.
And they, of course, did get caught. But, I mean, they really thought it out as good as you could do 18 years ago. Like, well, I'll let her explain it all, but there was a hidden truck, not in her name. There was money. There was cash. There was a plan to try to abscond, to get away. Again, what's that old saying? The heart wants what the heart wants, right?
Our next guest made headlines in 2006 when, while running Safe Harbor, an organization that relied on prison inmates to train stray dogs to prepare them for adoption, she fell in love with John Maynard, an inmate serving a life sentence at the Lansing Correctional Facility in Leavenworth, Kansas, ultimately helping him escape in a dog crate and setting off a 12-day nationwide manhunt that ended after a high-speed chase in Tennessee. She spent 27 months in prison for her actions and eventually told her story in her book, Living with Conviction. Please welcome Toby Doerr.
Hey, Toby, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
God, it's we were just reminiscing, if you will, about the day and then the weeks after that story broke, and everybody paid so much attention to it because it's got everything, right? It's got, you know, you busted.
It is a crazy story, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Totally crazy. Nobody would ever believe it. I can't believe it sometimes.
And you live up in D.C. now, but you're from Kansas City.
Yes, I do, just outside of D.C., right? We've been here about 3 years.
And so you, but you're from Kansas City.
Yes, lived my whole life in Kansas City. All of it in Kansas City, Kansas. I never even left the county, Wyandotte County.
We're over in KCK.
Well, at the time of the escape, I lived out in the Piper area by the Legends.
Oh, dude, I'm not far from there. I've got land in Edwardsville, and I live over in Western Shawnee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, boy, that area has just turned into something booming.
It has. But listen, we got to stay focused here. All right, Toby?
Yeah.
it was such a crazy story, babe. Like, first of all, that Safe Harbor program, I know that you worked with them. Were you in charge of Safe Harbor?
I started it, yes. It was my company, my business, my nonprofit. And, you know, inmates are human beings, and human beings crave community. And
of course.
Most of my dog handlers had never had a visitor for 10 or 20 years. And then I bring these dogs into the prison, and it just changed the whole environment of the prison almost overnight.
Yeah, of course. Well, listen, your punishment is to do your time. Your punishment is to not be as unhappy as someone can possibly make you.
That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be. So, no, I had a friend who had one of your dogs. And
oh, really?
His name was Hudson, and he was an incredible. I love this dog. Like, I will tell you, if I had to make a choice between that guy and the dog, I'd take that dog if that dog was still alive. That dog was absolutely wonderful.
Your friend.
The dogs were all great. The inmates did such a good job with
them. So you're running this program. You end up at Lansing Prison. Now, if you're from Kansas City, everybody knows Lansing Prison, if you've ever been anywhere near Lansing, Leavenworth. And so you're in this harbor program. There was some situation that happened, and they assigned another inmate to walk you, to kind of keep an eye on you?
Yes. So there was a couple times, because I would just go in the prison, and I was never supervised, and I had free rein to go anywhere because I had dogs all over the place. I had 100 dogs in the prison at any given time.
Yeah.
So
and those dogs stayed there. Those dogs stayed there.
Yeah, they did. They slept in the beds with the inmates. Yeah.
And I think that, again, there's going to be a lot of discussion this morning as we tell your story. But I want to point out that you have such a good heart. You started with such a great organization, and I love that. So, but you, this guy that's assigned to walk you. Now, this is where it gets weird for me. Like, he's 27 years old. He's already a convicted murderer, John Maynard.
Maynard.
And I remember a picture. He was a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he was.
And you were in an unhappy marriage, and you started having this thing, right? Like,
yes.
And some say women like a bad boy. Sometimes you think, I'm real vulnerable because, you know, I need love as everybody does. Sometimes a real sociopath in those situations can, what do they call it now, love bombing, where it's kind of overwhelming and you fall in love with somebody. Which was it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. John Maynard was in prison for murder, but he never killed anyone. He was in prison for felony murder, which means the actual crime was he was involved in a carjacking and the guy he was with killed someone.
Gotcha.
So when you are committing a felony and someone is killed, even if it's one of the criminals, you can be charged with felony murder. And okay. So he was.
Gotcha.
And if he had really been a true murderer and killed someone, I don't think I would have been, you know, as taken as I was. But I knew that he hadn't committed the crime. And he was really smart. He's really intelligent. He stood out from a lot of the other dog handlers because he, you know, we had these really deep discussions. He had a lot to say.
Right. And do you feel like he was because sometimes you find out these guys, some of them are sociopaths, right? Like they really mm-hmm. know how to get somebody to wrap them around their finger. Do you think that was that, or was this was a very
no.
real, this was very honest, you're saying?
This was very real and very honest. In fact, John and I still email each other today.
Okay.
And my husband, I got remarried after I got out of prison, and my husband is friends with him, and we've been to visit him in prison. So, no, I think it was a real connection.
So you meet this guy, and over the course of how long do you have this relationship that you get? Obviously, they tell you when you go into this prison, like, hey,
Toby,
yeah. you can't be in this. You have to be this way, this way, this way. And if anybody
yes.
even smells that you've got something, some feelings for a mm-hmm. prisoner, you're out of there.
Right. They do take you to a class, but it's like a 45-minute class. It's really not an in-depth training. And I was actually in the prison as much as any officer was because I had so many dogs and so much work to do in there.
Well,
so John became one of my dog handlers after about 7 or 8 weeks that the program started. And he was one of my dog handlers, and it wasn't until over a year later that things started to change a little bit with us.
Right.
And from the time our relationship started to change until the escape was really only about, I'd say, 2 months. You know,
wow.
It wasn't very long.
Did you guys, were you able to, I mean, I assume you're sneaking looks, kisses, fondles. Like, did you guys have sex while he was in jail?
No, you know, it's so impossible. There's cameras everywhere and people everywhere, so which just made it all the more electric, you know, because
sure.
it's so forbidden and
right.
so impossible.
So at the time, you're in a dead marriage, and you'd come through a cancer situation. You'd been treated, and you were on the upside, correct?
Yes.
And so
yes, that's correct.
You meet this guy. You feel like he's unjustly imprisoned, but you also kind of convince yourself of some other stuff because, you know, love is love. Like, that's how it works,
yes.
right? Like, we don't mm-hmm. see flaws. We imagine it's a different person, probably.
Yeah. The
and,
heart has no reason. When the heart takes over, logic goes clear out the window.
Sure. So in 2 months, you guys concoct a getaway plan. Like, so was it you or he that came up with the plan? Like, did he tell you this is what you got to do? And how do you guys communicate that?
Well, you know, it was his idea, and it was just a casual thing. He asked me if I wasn't in prison, would you be with me? And I said, you know, I might. And to me, it just meant, you know, if he got paroled, you know, maybe I would be with him. But that was his incentive to try to figure out how to get out. And then when he had something figured out, he approached me with it. And at first I was like, there's no way, no way. And then, you know, I thought, well, maybe there's a way.
Isn't that
crazy? And it kind of started as a game. You know, he'd say, well, I could do this. And I'd say, that's the stupidest idea I ever heard. That would never work. And then he'd come back and say, well, how about this? This might work. And it kind of had the feel of a game, you know, like a fantasy game.
But you were both pretending that it wasn't real, even though both of you knew it was real.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So
yes.
So you keep doing this back and forth until you guys finally run into enough scenarios. You go, that could work.
I think this could work, yeah.
But at any time, where was the other part of your brain going, hey, you'll go to prison? Like, you know, you don't
get
away with this stuff more.
No, I never, and I think I didn't allow myself to think about that because I knew that if I did think about it, I would not do it. So I think I just kept myself from even going there.
So then you go, you concoct this plan, and then what is the plan? Like, once you guys, I mean, how do you even find a quiet place to have this discussion? Because obviously you can't talk on it. He can't call you on a prison phone because it's monitored.
No, he can't. Because one of my crimes was I snuck a cell phone into the prison so we could talk.
Holy goodness.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So that was one of my charges. And that's, you know, that's without that, I don't know that we would have been able to make a plan.
So you guys figure this out. And then before this happens, what's the plan?
So the plan is that I came in every weekend to do dog adoptions, and I would drive into the back gate of the prison, and the dog handlers would bring their dogs down, and I'd load them into dog crates in my van, and then I would drive out. Well, one of the unit team leaders just happened to say, when John, in front of John and I, he was talking to me, but John was there, and he said, you know, I have this big wire dog crate, and I need to get it out of the prison because the inmates could cut that wire up and make shanks out of it.
Got it.
And John was right on it, and he said, oh, yeah, I have a great idea. He said, there's some other stuff that we need to get out of here, too. So how about if I put it all together and I bring it down to the van on an adoption day and just load it into the van, because this is a big crate and it'd be hard for Toby to carry it through the prison. And he said, that'd be great. I'll let the officer know that to expect a crate. And so it was like, there you go. There's the plan. And it just kind of came together. You know, it was almost serendipitous. It was just like everything kind of fell into place. It was just crazy.
Did I read that he had to lose 25 pounds to fit in?
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
How did he, I mean, how, it had to take him more than two months, didn't it?
No, I think he just quit eating almost altogether. But he had to put a cardboard box inside of the wire dog crate.
Yeah, otherwise you could see it
in a dog crate. Right.
But okay, and I'm sorry, because I have so many questions. Like, so he carries it down to the truck. Now, I assume...
No, he doesn't carry it down to the truck. He gets into it in his cell, and he has the crate on a... I had a farm wagon in there to carry, you know, 50-pound sacks of dog food around inside the prison, and I just left the farm wagon in the prison. So he put the dog crate on the farm wagon, and then he told his cellmate and a couple other buddies that he got called into work, and he was supposed to bring this dog crate down and put it in the van, you know, when I came for a dog adoption, but he got called into work. So if he had it all loaded up on the farm wagon, could they just wheel it down there and put it in the van for him? And they said, sure.
But didn't they notice that the goddamn thing weighed a bunch?
Well, I would think they would question that as they slid it into the prison. I mean, they wouldn't have known because it was already on the farm wagon, so they wouldn't have lifted it until they took it off the farm wagon right. And put it in the van. I would have to think they'd be going, what the heck is going on?
So you would think, because I just don't know what the you know, the brotherhood is in there. Like, are you happy, guys? Because I feel like they had to know when they picked it up and put him in, they were doing him a solid. But normally, you know, I mean, you don't want to be an accessory to that because you get stuff added to your own time on that, right?
Well, I've heard that all of those inmates who brought the crate down got pulled and put into, you know, SEG and were interviewed, but none of them, they couldn't prove that any of them knew anything, so nothing happened to them.
That was my thought, Toby, was I was like, man, how does he get in the crate? And there's no way she picked up the dog crate and put it in. So,
no.
So I was thinking, if you're going to get caught trying to jump into the dog crate, into a car, a vehicle, in a parking lot.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have worked.
So he's in a big wired dog crate that you guys used cardboard so they couldn't see in it. He's in it. Those other inmates wheel the cart over, put it in the truck, and at this point, you're just, did you have any realization, like those epiphanies where you go, hey, if I go one step further, there ain't no coming back now.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, they put the crate in the van, and I got in the van and I drove out, and I was, you know, I was all nervous. And I called back and said, John, are you there? And he didn't answer. And I had this thought, oh, thank God, it didn't work. I'm just going to go do a dog adoption. And then after I got off the prison ground, you know, I heard him laughing and his arm broke out of the box. And I pulled over and I thought, holy crap, you know, we've done it. And now what am I going to do? Because I can't like drive back in and say, oops, here you go. So it was kind of a, you know, now it's done and off we go.
Right, right. So at that moment, you had already decided I'm leaving the husband. I'm gonna abscond. How did you intend to disappear?
You know, here's the thing. We spent so much time planning the escape, and we spend hardly any time planning the after. So, you know, we had a lot of flaws in our after plan, which really is how we got caught.
But you knew you bought a truck in somebody else's name?
Yeah.
Smart.
Yep.
So there was no way to track that plate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you thought. So how did they track you? Did you use credit cards or cash?
Here's how they track. We use cash. I brought cash with us. So we didn't have any credit cards, and we didn't have a cell phone. So, you know, theoretically, it could have worked. However, I had to get the title to the truck so we could license it, and stupid me had him send it to the cabin we were staying at. You know, because if I bought the truck from a person and I got the title in my hand, it would have been different. But I bought it at a used car lot, and so they had to mail the title.
So you had already set the cabin up. So, by the way, you know, he's still like, God damn it, Toby. Come on,
yeah,
Toby.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, you know, though, when John went to prison, there were no cell phones. There was no internet. I mean, you were super cool if you had a pager.
Sure.
And there were no CCTV cameras anywhere. So he was just stunned at how much the world had changed. And of course, you can't get away with anything today. There's cameras everywhere.
Right. So you guys, so you make your run. Where's the cabin at, by the way? That was down in, was it Tennessee?
It's in Tennessee, yes.
So you guys drive straight through. You're a pretty good distance away.
Uh-huh.
Of course, how long did it take for them to realize he had broken out of Lansing prison and he was missing and you were missing as well? What was that? Like,
yeah.
How many hours did it take, or minutes?
So the last count, I picked up the dogs at 10:30. The last count is at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. And then the next count after that isn't until 3:30. So it wasn't until 3:30 in the afternoon that they realized, you know, it takes a while to count everybody and realize, oh, our numbers aren't right. So they count again. And, oh, the numbers aren't right. And so then they lock everybody down in their cells, and they go from cell to cell and look and see who's missing.
So you're 5 to 6 hours ahead of them, and you're mm-hmm. you're driving, what, 2 miles over the speed limit?
We actually, yeah, barely. I mean, yeah. We were being really careful to not do anything to get pulled over.
Right, right. So is he still hiding in the back of the truck, or is he riding up
right
with you?
No, okay. He was driving.
Okay.
He was driving. Yeah, he drove the truck. When.
And Go ahead.
Oh, we put the van in the storage unit where the truck had been.
Right.
So it was off the road. And I left the dogs at my house because, you know, I had to do something with them. So I left them in my barn. We went there first and I unloaded the dogs. And then,
you knew somebody would take care of them, right?
Yes.
Like you didn't, yeah,
yes.
Of course. So right. Now you're making that run. How long, by the way? Because you would have had a temporary tag on that truck.
Yeah, we did have a temporary tag.
So you could have gone at least 30, 60 days, most likely.
Yes, yes,
how
we
long,
could have.
How long before how long was he out of prison? How many days?
Well, 12 days. We were out for 12 days.
And
it was about that, took him about that long to figure out, you know, about the title. So,
well, because they're thinking, did he kill her? Because you know what they're going to think.
Yeah,
this guy's a convicted murderer, right? They're going to go,
yeah,
this nice dog.
Yeah, it's my understanding,
lady.
Right? It's my understanding that at first they thought I had been kidnapped.
Sure, of course they did.
Turns out,
you're the ringleader, Toby.
So, right.
You're the goddamn ringleader. So it took him about 12 days. They pieced it all together. Your husband at the time was like, she didn't come home.
He was a fireman and he was working at the fire station, so he was gone for 24 hours. So, you know, there was just a whole lot of things that went into it.
I wonder if I knew that guy. I used to work for Huckabee down at 18th and Central. I was a paramedic down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes,
interesting.
So if you're just joining the show, Toby's from KCK. So that's why.
Uh-huh.
And your husband's a fireman in KCK. We may have crossed paths right before that.
You could have. That's true. You could have.
But so does he realize that you have taken money out of the bank? Because that would show.
Well, it wasn't. I took money out of my 401k. So I didn't take money out of our joint money. So,
okay.
No, it took him a while to figure that out.
So then you've got 25 grand cash. You've rented a cabin. You have no fake IDs, but you do have a car, but you have sent the title to the hideout.
Yeah. So we could register our truck legally.
Right. But think about it. When you registered that truck legally, you were going to have to use some ID. What name were you going to give?
I don't know. I hadn't even got that far, you know.
I had to tell you this, but you were...
At the time, I didn't even realize you had to have a driver's license to register a car.
Yeah.
Well, I know that now.
So you guys get down to the cabin, and it, you know, because the news made a big deal when they cracked it open. There was 25 grand cash and sex toys.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, the guy had been... How long had he been without sex?
10 years, I think.
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're 27. You got
yeah.
Listen, I'm sure that 12 days was busy 12 days.
Yes, it was. It was the best part of our relationship, honestly.
I bet. For real. I mean, listen, mm-hmm. you just busted. It's without the getting caught part and where it all goes bad, it's like one of those, it's like a true romance novel. The bad guy
is.
Who wasn't
yep.
really a bad guy, right?
He was misunderstood.
He was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
Then
the
nice dog lady who rescues dogs, busts him out of prison. You go to a cabin, you're getting it on 12 days straight. Everything's crazy. And and again, so at that point, you must have felt like almost like the universe was on your side.
Yeah, it was just crazy. And I always felt like I'd come back home. I didn't know when or how, but I didn't ever picture myself being gone forever. I don't know now how I could have possibly have come home without getting in trouble, you know, but at the time, that's what I thought. And
by the way, it says if we found a novels, sex toys, guitars, sheet music, and the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and a blue parakeet.
Yes, he bought me a bird for Valentine's Day.
That's awesome.
Because I missed my dog so much.
Oh, you're like, I already got one jailbird. Come on.
And
now.
You know what happened with the bird?
No.
I mean, when I got arrested, I said, look, there's a bird in the cabin. You need to catch the bird. You need to take care of the bird. And John had told him the same thing. So one of the marshals who went to the cabin took the bird and adopted it, and he kept it until it died, and they named the bird Maynard. He was in the FBI office.
After John Maynard, the guy who escaped from Russia, yes.
That's incredible.
What a crazy-ass story. But then of course, you guys, you got spotted, and it was a high-speed chase. At that moment, you must realize, God damn it, we're done for. By the way, there was a couple. Yeah. Did you guys have guns, right?
Yes, but not in the truck. They were in the cabin. Yeah. Right. The guns were the stupidest part of the whole thing. You know, it was just dumb.
Right. But listen, you're doing something so crazy anyway. Of course, you're like, I get guns. So you guys take off. The cop comes up behind you. And does he ride you for a little while before he hits
No. Here's what happens. We went to Chattanooga for the day, and we were leaving, and we stopped at a Barnes & Noble bookstore in a shopping mall and bought a book. And when we were walking out, we walked right in front of the marshals from the fugitive team. Who were sitting in a parked car in the parking lot trying to, because they had already tracked us to the cabin, but we weren't there that day. And because that was the address where the title was going to go. And so they were sitting in the parking lot trying to figure out what they were going to do next, and we walked right in front of them.
Pure coincidence.
I mean, and this is like, you know, 100 miles away from the cabin. So what the heck? How'd that happen?
Wah, wah.
So
that's all bad.
Yeah, so they wired ahead, and they set up a whole thing on the interstate. We were taking the interstate back, which, you know, the whole time up until then, John's plan was never drive on an interstate because you get stuck on them. You can't get off. But we took the interstate home, and they closed the interstate. They had the entrance ramps blocked off, which I noticed because they had lights, you know, and they had police cars across the entrances.
Oh, yeah, that should have been the tip-off. If you have a guy you just busted out of prison and you see the interstate, suddenly nobody can get on the interstate anymore.
Yeah. Must be a bad wreck up front. You know, that's what I thought.
Right.
And I said, oh, be careful. There's a bad wreck up front. And John said, oh, no, there isn't. This is all for us. And I said, what's for us? Because I was still looking at the blocked-off ramp. And I turned and looked in front of us, and there was just a sea of police cars.
Oof. Oof. So you just decided to pack it in?
No. Well, you know, John said, what should we do? I said, well, if they turn on their lights, you have to pull over because that's the law. And he said, okay, if that's what you want to do. And then a police car sped up and cut in front of us and slammed on their brakes, you know, trying to make us stop. And he got mad, and he said, they're trying to kill us. I'm not stopping. I'm going to run until we run out of gas. And off we went.
Yep.
And I looked over, and we had 3/4 of a tank of gas, and I thought, I can't do this for 3/4 of a tank.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that's honestly, that's how someone gets killed. An innocent person, one of you two, just a cop.
Yes.
I mean, somebody gets killed. It's too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we were blessed that no one was hurt. I mean, we really weren't. We hit a tree at 100 miles an hour head on. and we both walked away. I mean, I was bruised and sore, and I had some cuts on my face, but, you know, nothing broken, nothing really hurt, which was amazing to me.
So it all goes bad. You hit the tree. Everybody, he's arrested. You're arrested. You guys are instantly separated, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he went to one police car, and I went to another.
And I'm sure that as soon as you hit the jail, within a day, somebody was in there telling you how you're never getting out to see the light of day again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They want answers. They want you to cooperate.
Yeah.
So what do what do they tell you?
So, well, you know what? The marshals talked to me that night because they ended up taking me to the hospital because I they were going to take me to jail. And I said, don't you think I should go to the hospital? I was just in a wreck. Wasn't I in a wreck? And they said, well, yeah. So anyway, we went to the hospital and they talked to me at the hospital. And, I told them about the bird. I told them where the guns were and I filled in some blanks for him. And that was the only time I ever talked to anybody. They never came and talked to me again.
But no prosecuting attorney came down, a DA, nothing?
No.
Weird.
No. I mean, I think that the prosecutor probably talked to my attorney at some point, but nobody ever interviewed me again. It was just like a 20-minute interview in the hospital that night.
I guess it is pretty open and closed. Like they, there you are, there he is. It is what it is. So,
yeah.
Did you just immediately go to pleading guilty and waive the trial and just go like, just let's just get it.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. It was such a media circus. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. The courtroom was just packed with media. Anytime I went to the courtroom and I would just go in to like have a continuance and it'd be packed with reporters. And so I knew that if I tried to do a trial and what was I going to say anyway, I didn't know we were going to escape. Mm-hmm. So I just pled guilty because there was no way I was going to do a trial and have that courtroom filled with reporters day after day.
Were you heartbroken?
Yes. Yes. They pulled him into one police car and me into another, and that was it. That was it. And there was like no closure. You didn't even say goodbye. And then you go to prison, which is a terrible place, and you have nothing to do, nothing to occupy your mind. So you just keep reliving everything in your head and you make it into, perhaps even a bigger fairy tale than it ever was. And
right.
It was really hard for me to get over him.
Sure. Sure. And so you got 27 months and did all of them.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Where'd they send you? Where'd you end up going?
I was everywhere. So I spent some time in the Topeka Women's Prison, the state prison. And then I spent a lot of time in CCA in Leavenworth, which is a private for-profit prison.
Yep.
And then I ended up going to prison in Houston.
That CCA one is right across from the cemetery, from the
veterans. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
For the record, total side note, different conversation. I think privatized prisons are what a scam, what a terrible thing to do to human beings.
Ridiculous. Do you know what? I fell in that prison. I slipped and fell. The floors are concrete and they're polished and they're slick and I was in stocking feet. I slipped and fell and broke my leg. And it took them 10 days to x-ray it. And I just laid there with no pain medication, not even an aspirin for 10 days while they, said, get out of bed, come get your food tray.
Yeah.
And
their
finally,
job is to keep you there as long as possible because it's privatized.
While you're there. Yeah, and they even have contracts. The company that has those for-profit prisons, there's two of them. They have contracts with the states and cities that they are in that if the prisons aren't 90% full, that they have to pay them an exorbitant fee. So
sure,
the states have to keep them nearly full.
Yeah, no, and of course, everything is a violation. Everything goes with more sentencing and more time on your sentence. Anyway, so so they move you out of that. I know where that prison is. Then where do you go from there?
So from CCA, I went to a federal prison in Houston, Texas.
That probably sucked a lot.
Yeah, it did. And luckily, I was only there 2 months because it took them so long to get me through the whole process that I was served almost all my time.
And let me say this, and please take it the right way. You're a bit, not naive, but you're above, I don't know, Pollyanna. You can tell you have a pretty easygoing, light heart. Like you don't seem like a very hardened lady to me. You don't.
No, I'm not.
It's safe to say you've never cut a bitch.
No.
Okay, so,
No. In fact, in one of my stays at CCA, my two roommates were going to have a fight with another couple girls out in the pod. So when they opened the doors after dinner to let us out into the pod, they said, "Toby, you can't be in a fight. So if we say, if we holler purple, that means run back to the room and close the door behind you because there's going to be a fight, and yeah. you need to not be anywhere near it."
Yeah.
So
oh, that was nice.
How did it, so tell me this in prison, you know, because there's a lot of talk about girls are just the same as everybody else, right? Like you end mm-hmm. up with a girlfriend in prison, you know, and you
yeah,
27
a lot of people
months.
Do. Yeah. yeah. Not me.
Not so much. No, but I'm sure. No. I'm sure people offered.
No, actually, nobody approached me. I kind of felt like I was maybe treated a little bit different than most people. I think they knew I was not.
That didn't hurt your feelings that nobody picked you?
No. No, but I will say I made so many really close friendships in prison. And, you know, I still stay in contact with some of those women, and they're probably the closest friendships I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, I think extreme moments of amazing duress, like going to mm-hmm. war, right? Like those.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, no, it's real. And so you have to serve your whole 27. You get out. And what are you expecting to happen? Like at this point, you've never, were you, when you were in prison, could you write to John Maynard?
No, I couldn't write to John and I couldn't call him. But every once in a while, I'd get a letter from him that somehow got smuggled into me. I never knew how, but, you know, I got a few, a handful, not many. When I got out of prison, I thought I could just, you know, slip back into my life and move on. But that's not what happens. I mean, when you go away to prison, all the people in your life, they continue on with their lives. And when you get out of prison, they're somewhere different than when they were when you went in. And you just don't fit back in. You got to kind of start over and make a new place.
Right.
And
well, you're different
in a lot of cases. Yeah, that's right. And in a lot of cases, I wasn't able to make that work.
I see. Yeah, no, I can't imagine. Hey, listen, I there's so many aspects of this story about going to prison, what it does to you. How do you cope when you get out? Why do people, mm-hmm. you know, end up back in prison again because they get institutionalized? You know, it's.
Yeah.
But you're still at this point, though, you're still heartbroken, right? Like you're still holding on to this thing for the guy you broke out of Lansing prison.
Yes.
At this time now, he's pushing 30. Mm-hmm. And when did you have, and by the way, I would have to imagine, not that you would do this, but if I were in prison and I had to get a letter to another guy in prison, we would have to have a friend somewhere in my prison reach out to somebody else in the other prison, and they would send letters back and forth, and then you would hand over the other letter.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of how it worked,
So you know, and he's telling you, I still have feelings for you.
Yes.
And
yes, he is.
You get out. Now what do you do?
You know, I thought I was just going to live this quiet life and maybe work in a bookstore and just be invisible, but that's not what happened.
No. No, people want to, you know, it's too much. Like there was a Lifetime movie called Jailbreak Lovers.
Yes, there was. And actually I'm working with a film crew on a feature film and a docuseries right now. So we'll see what those come out to be. But, you know, the Jailbreak Lovers, it was kind of the sensational part of the story.
Sure,
the stuff I'm working on now is the rebuilding part of the story.
Yeah, living with conviction, by the way, it's, I get good pun. And you, it just talks about love and being your authentic self and not so much even before what you were doing, but afterwards, like, look, you have to deal with things head on, right? I mean, you got to be
That's right.
I just went to prison. I did do this.
You got to reach out and embrace it. You can't keep it secret. You know, it has to be, it is part of who you are. So you need to just make it the center point of who you are.
That's right. And all secrets die in the light of honesty. Like if you just go, hey, you guys, nobody can poke a hole in me. Nobody can come after me. I'm going to tell you everything. And now, you know, now shut the F up.
Right. That's exactly right. And I have so many women reach out to me who read my book or who hear me on an interview, and they, you know, they are inspired to fix their own lives and to rebuild their lives.
I'm glad you said rebuild your life and not get their own guy busted out of prison.
No, I don't recommend that.
So
there's no happy ending in that.
You finally got to go see him. Is that right? Did they? But I can't even believe they let you visit him.
I can't believe it either. Well, John got transferred to New Hampshire because there's this thing in prisons where if a particular prison doesn't like someone that they've got, they can trade their undesirable to another prison for one of their undesirables. Hmm. And so you know, they traded John to New Hampshire because they didn't want to see him, Kansas, which I, you know, can hardly blame him. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
He was a blight on their name. So right. He was in prison in New Hampshire, and my husband is from Maine, and we were driving back to Maine to just, you know, see where Chris grew up. And at the time, we were talking to John on the phone, Chris and I both, and he said, well, New Hampshire's right next to Maine. You should come and see us. And I said, John, they're not going to let me visit you. I helped you escape from prison. He said, well, you never know. Fill out the form. So he mailed us two forms, and we filled them out, and they came back approved.
Weird. So, by the way, so you meet this other guy, and you fall in love with him, and I assume he's a good dude. But
yeah,
how does John Maynard take this? How does the guy, like, if he still has feelings for you, he's like, yeah, it's super fun. Bring the guy who's you know, now you're, you know, banging you. Like,
well,
like,
he knew, yeah, so... about a year or two after Chris and I got married, I got a call from a reporter, and he said he'd been talking to John, and John wanted to know if he could give him my phone number because he wanted to talk to me. And, you know, Chris said, yeah, Toby, give him your phone number. John needs a friend. So
that's
John called.
Guy. That's,
yeah, he really is. He really is.
Yep.
Yeah. He's really, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me. And, so Chris and I both talked to John on the phone for, you know, quite a while. And John said, you know, I heard you got married. And he said, I understand, you know, I don't blame you. And I, you know, I just want to be sure that you're happy and that you have a good life. So.
And so he's, you know, but he's still the same, like you guys, he's friendly. Like it's not like he didn't just go, oh, okay, so now I'll never talk to you again. Like for whatever,
no.
You guys stay in contact all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And, you know, we're really, I still love John, and Chris loves John. I love him in a different way than I did before, but he does matter to me. And, you know, he doesn't really have any visitors. He doesn't really have any support. And so, you know, if he needs somebody to write to, then Chris said, you know, we'll be that.
How?
So,
well, tell me this. You didn't tell Chris the part, like we were joking around earlier about that 12 days in the cabin being the best part of your relationship. You didn't tell him that part, did you?
Oh, yeah. I have told him.
No, never tell him that. Never tell him that part.
I love her honesty.
Never tell him that part. How the dude, the hardened criminal out of the joint, really hit it so hard that it's the best part of the whole thing. Like,
Chris and I don't have any secrets. So
good for you.
And
what would happen, though? Tell me this, Toby. What if something happened and a judge, whatever, he got paroled tomorrow? I know he's doing life plus 10. Absurd. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
And what do you ever wonder if your feelings would change for your husband?
No, they wouldn't. I already know. And, you know, we would be friends with John, and we would try to support him and help him get his feet under him. But that's what we would be. No more.
Wow, man. What a story, Toby.
Yeah.
But you sound good.
Yeah.
I mean, you sound really good.
Yeah, I'm doing really well. You know, I love my life now, and I love where I am, and I love who I am, and it's probably the first time in my life I could say that.
Hey, listen, you didn't hurt anyone. You broke the law, and you paid.
Yeah.
You paid for it. You know, going to jail is not about, you know, again, like we talked about, it's you paid with 27 months of your life. That's all that's all you owed the world, period. Now, you know, but wow, so many people would hide from it, would, you know, try to disappear, or they'd drive it to get into drinking or drugs, or they'd you know.
That's right.
It would just become the cycle, right? But, no, good on you. I think that book you've written is probably pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, you know, I like to say that I found my freedom behind bars, and going to prison was the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't ever want to do it again. It was also the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But when you're in prison and there is absolutely nothing to do, you've got all the time in the world to go back and go through your whole life and analyze what you did wrong and what wounds you never let heal, and do all this introspection and self-healing and kind of chart a path for the future.
I would imagine that you also realize, because your life has been taken away from you, your freedom, your ability, that it becomes glaringly obvious to not live a life you don't want to live, to not.
That's exactly right. Don't settle for anything, you know, and do something that makes the world a better place, you know,
right.
Do something that benefits something somewhere, because just sitting here and taking up time and going on vacations and having fun is not a life that I want.
No, you live the life that you want, whatever it is. You got to go do it, because this is not a dress rehearsal. It is tick, tick,
that's
tick,
right.
Tick, tock, tick,
that's
tock.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've published my memoir. I've published a book of poetry. I've published 3 workbooks. I have 6 more workbooks that I'm working on. And the workbooks are all designed for women. The first 3 are really kind of designed for women in prison to rebuild their lives. And the next 3 are leadership workbooks. And the last 3 are spiritual development workbooks. And I have a podcast called Fierce Conversations with Toby. And in that podcast, we talk about the silver linings in difficult journeys.
Sure. No. Listen, nothing like a near-death experience to make you reset everything in your life.
Oh, that's so true. That is so true.
You know, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. If wasting your life, walking through like a zombie, accepting a situation that's no good because you're more afraid of being alone than you are willing to go out and get what you want.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to love who you are and be happy with yourself. You can't depend on someone else to make you happy because that just doesn't work.
I tell you, are you doing any more rescue work with dogs?
No, I haven't. But my husband and I have rescued about 7 or 8 dogs ourselves.
Good.
And we don't have any dogs right now, but I have a rescue cat.
I've got a dog in the studio with me right now, Buddy. I found him in Curacao. I was there taking care of another buddy who was real sick. And I found this little feral dog, 6 weeks old, 7 weeks old, 5 pounds, malnourished, filled up with worms, like almost gone. And
well, good for you.
And managed to bring him back to the States. So he comes to work with me every day.
I love that. I absolutely love that story. You know, I rescue dogs and cats still. And my stepson and their family, they live upstairs. We live with them. And they adopted a dog from a shelter a year ago. And I, you know, did all the going through and picking them out and vetting them. And, you know, it's important, I think, to rescue animals and not buy them from a breeder.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course. Well, listen, Toby, what a great story. I sure am glad you came by so willingly and openly and shared it with
sure.
us, because it's really good.
I love to tell my story because I never know who in the audience I might reach on that interview. And that's why I tell it, to make a difference in the lives of other people.
All right. Listen, you're a good girl, Tobe, and I really do appreciate you.
Hey, thank you so much. I enjoyed being on.
You stay right here. Hold on a second.
She's fantastic and so interesting.
Yeah.
And like, she's just honest.
Oh, dude, so good. So good. What a crazy story. Super weird.
Mm-hmm.
Super weird.
I love that the parakeet got home.
I think what we've learned, though, is rescue dogs are to be blamed. They're just a poor influence.
It's
a gateway to poor decisions. Once you decide you're going to do work with these foster animals, like, it's next thing you know, you're shipping a dude out of a crate out of Lansing Prison, and you're on a high-speed chase with guns and porn and dildos. Like, the goddamn dogs.
Dude, here's what I will say. Credit to that lady, because I was on the phone with her yesterday, 30 to 45 minutes, just talking, getting the story, the whole thing, and... You know, I realize the book is out there if you want to order it on Amazon, or you can go to her website, all that. But I'm like, the story is the story. Like, people want to hear the story. You can't back up from the story.
That's
you
right.
can't not tell. And she was like, no, I'll tell the story. Like,
I've said this my entire career. Listen, if you're worried someone's going to find out and get on your chase, you know what he did. Tell him.
Beat him to it.
I didn't waste a single. I dropped out. I did all the drugs in the world. This is what I've done. You know,
and
I mean?
Then like, they stand there with their teeth in their mouth.
So what do you got now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what are you going to call me now?
Yeah.
Like, who cares, right?
She was fantastic. Like, did not back up from any of it.
That's great. What a crazy story. Whoever thought, like, by the end of it, you'd be like, oh, man, I can kind of see that happening.
Yeah.
Because it turns out the guy who, you know, in the news, the media never says, the whole story about a murder. He was you do the math, 17-year-old kid. There was a carjacking. He was a passenger, part of it.
Yeah.
Obviously into some criminal stuff. But the other dude kills somebody, but because you're engaged in the same felony, you get charged with murder, and they give you the long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's
right.
It's you're suddenly not the monster you might imagine.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, wow, so you were in a bad situation, you're definitely culpable. You're committing a crime, but you didn't pull the trigger. You didn't kill the person. But because you're involved in the felony, the law says you have to go to prison for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now you're like, if you fall in love with somebody, right? I've overlooked much bigger flaws. I'll be
no kidding.
I mean, much
bigger. I understand.
Bigger, much. So
the part that was funny to me was all the stuff you read. And even when we spoke yesterday, when FBI and police got to the cabin and they found dildos and money and hair dye, whatever. But she's like, and a bird. He bought me a bird for Valentine's Day. What happened to the bird? The FBI agent adopted it, named it Maynard, and kept it in the office.
My next thought, honestly, right then was like, you didn't do well in prison, did you?
But God bless somebody looking
out for. God bless the girls at that prison who were like, if there's a fight, I'll say purple. You stay here and shut the door.
Yeah, so she's pretty
she's
great.
A good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.